Getting late, but I have to make a confession. Someone in my house has got a weight problem. You know who's got a, yeah, Dave's like, you don't have to tell us anything we don't know, Pastor. I appreciate that. You know who's got the weight problem in my house? It's my oldest son, Casey. Casey's got a weight problem. Casey don't like to wait for anything these days. The thing he doesn't like to wait for the most is to watch his television show. Casey gets 2 half hours of TV a day, one in the afternoon and one in the evening, both strategically placed so that other things can happen during that half hour of time, usually dealing with his other brother. He can't wait for his 1 half hour of television. He'll be asking us for hours in advance, is it time, is it time, is it time, is it time, is it time yet to watch my show? We finally have devised a strategy. We gave him a clock. And we showed him what the hands on the clock have to look like in order to get the television show. And would you know that he will hold on to that clock for upwards of a half an hour, staring at that clock, waiting for it to be time. And sure enough, as soon as that number, that big hand hits that number, he is out there and he is ready. The wait is finally over. Don't you wish we had a clock that would tell us how long it would be until our wait was over? I don't know what it is you've been waiting for sometimes in your life, but how good it would be to have a clock that would tell you just how long it would be that you would have to wait. How long do I have to wait before I meet Mr. Wright or Ms. Wright? God, if I just knew how long it would be, then I could hold on. How long will it be, God, until I get this job that I've been waiting for, or the things at my job get straightened out? God, if you just tell me how long it could be, then I won't have any problem waiting. If I just knew how long, God, how long, God, before the sorrow and the grief and the mourning from someone who's been lost, God, just tell me how long it's going to feel this way. If I just knew if it was going to be a month or 2 months or even a year or more, as long as I knew, God, if I just had one of those clocks. We sometimes have a weight problem. A problem waiting. That's why we meet our Christmas character today, a character maybe we've never met before, the character of Simeon. He's right there in our Christmas story, and I'm trying to introduce you this Christmas to some of these characters who aren't normally a part of our nativity scene, but probably should be. And I want you to go out and find a Simeon character now to add to your nativity set, because Simeon is an important part of the Christmas story, because he tells us something about our weight problem. Something about what it means to wait. Here's his story from Luke. Would you help me out, Julie, go through that story? It's right there from Luke's chapter, right after the birth of Jesus. 8 days later, actually. On the 8th day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, which means he was waiting for the Messiah, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went to the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, now you may dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and a glory for your people, Israel." Simeon's story. You see, Simeon was one of the priests of Israel, one of God's chosen leaders, of God's chosen people. And God had made a promise to the people of Israel that God would be their God and they would be His people and God would never leave them and never forsake them, which would have been all fine and dandy, except for over 700 years, God's people had lived in exile. What happens when God's promise doesn't seem to be coming true? And not just true in your lifetime, but for several lifetimes. We're talking 700 years. God's people had been waiting for God to make good on God's promise. They'd been subjugated people by the Babylonians, the Assyrians, and now the Romans, left to live in that humiliation. And here's God's promise: I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. And for 700 years, it looks as if God has done just that. Talk about a weight problem, a waiting problem. God's people had been waiting and waiting and waiting for God to make good on God's promise. And when God doesn't seem to be making good on God's promise, as far as I can tell, you've only got a couple of choices. First choice you can make is to decide that God isn't all that trustworthy, that God isn't good on God's word. Sure, God makes all these promises, but they sure don't seem to be panning out. This isn't a God we can trust. And if God is a God who makes promises with no intention in keeping them, then this God is just a mean God, a manipulative God. And boy, if that's where you are, you probably end up in the second camp, which means if God's not good on God's promise for 700 years, maybe there just is no God anyway. I run into people out in the world all the time when they learn I'm a pastor that fall into one of those two camps. Either they no longer believe in God because they don't see God's promise taking place in their lives or in the world around them, or they fall into the other camp of saying, this God of yours is just a mean God. And so I'm so glad we get to meet Simeon, because Simeon tells us something about how we wait when God's promise doesn't seem to be working out in our lives. Simeon was a devout priest of Israel, and he hung on to God's promise. He waited with the promise of God implanted on his heart, trusting God's promise. God had spoken a promise to him. You will see the flourishing of my promise, Simeon, before you die, I promise. God has spoken a promise to us, for we are God's people too. God has promised. You can't miss it if you read the scripture. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I am your God and you are my people. There's nothing you can do to separate me from the love that I have in you. Nothing you can do. I love you. I love you. I love you. That is the promise God speaks to us today. Simeon lived in faith. Simeon lived in hope that God's promise would come true. How do we live as people of hope in the midst of waiting for God to make good on God's promise? We be like Simeon. God had spoke that promise to Simeon years and years and years in advance. And every day he went to the temple and prayed on it and waited for it and hoped for it. He acted as if God's promise were true. If you act as if God's promise is true, you will find yourself living into that promise each and every time. If God promises you, I know the plans I have for you, he says in Jeremiah, plans to prosper you. And here you are sitting here in this weird job situation. You don't have a work, or you're looking for work, and you're like, how does God make good on his promise? You have to act as if that promise is going to come true. God delivers on the promise when you keep knocking on doors and you keep sending out job applications and you keep networking and keep putting it out there, trusting that the right job and the right opportunity is out there for you in this world. How do you cling to that promise when there's struggle in a relationship? God, you've promised that you would restore this relationship in my life, and here it is, it's broken and it's hard. How does that happen? Acting as if it is going to happen. I met with a couple one time, and I think it was just the husband, and he was saying, "This isn't here. This is back. Don't be trying to figure out who I'm talking about. This isn't here. I promise. You're all going, who's he talking about? This is 7 years ago. I promise. And he was saying to me, "Jeff, I just don't know if I love my wife anymore. What should I do?" I said, "Well, love her." "I don't know if I do anymore. I don't feel it anymore." I said, "Who told you love was a feeling? Love is a verb. Love is an action. Show her you love her by how you treat her. And I promise you, you will fall back in love with her. And she will fall back in love with you. Act as if God's promise is true, and it will be true." That's what Simeon did day after day. Went to the temple waiting for God to make good on his promise. And all of his friends who had given up hope laughed at him every single day. "Oh, there goes old Simeon. Back to the temple. Silly old Simeon, believing in God's promise." And yet, the day came when God's promise became real in his life. Because he had waited in hope and waited in faith. You know, I get blown away by these Christmas stories that it seems like only a few people noticed. It's only like a few people notice when God actually comes into their, right into their world, right into the story, right into their midst. Why is it that only a few people notice? It's probably because God keeps showing up in ways we never planned and never expected God to show up. Israel had been waiting for this great big moment when this king, this political leader, this warrior would show up on the scene, and what they got as a Messiah was a suffering Savior who would die on a cross for the transformation of the world, not the Savior they had expected. Last Christmas, I took Casey to one of those live nativity things. You ever been to one of those live nativity things where they have the animals, they bring all the animals in? They had all these animals there, and Casey was so into the live nativity. And this live nativity, they actually had a camel, a baby camel, like this 8-foot camel, and Casey was like so into the camel, and he was so into the animals. It was so cool. And I said, "Casey, come over here, because here's Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. Let's go see Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus." And I took him over, and he's like, "Dad, that's just a baby. But that's a camel over here, Dad. We got one of these babies at home. We ain't got no camel at home, Dad. Let's go see the camel." And I think we miss Christmas because we think Christmas is the camel. And Christmas is the baby. Christmas is the baby. Christmas is the baby. That's what we've been waiting for. And it's come. And it's not just the baby. It's who this baby grew up to be. Want to see God in this world? Then follow the baby that grew up. The things that this baby would teach us. The life that this baby would point us towards. The death that this baby would die, and the resurrection that this baby would experience will open up the whole world to us. Because I think that's what God's waiting for.